Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
And welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and thank you for coming by to listen. Stay with me for the next 30 minutes for some motivation, inspiration, education, always done with no manipulation. And the reason for that is we don't try to sell anything. We're not here to con you. We're not here to have you join up, fess up, give it up, nothing like that. The objective of this show is to give you clear, lucid, accurate information. Information that I pray will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you're able to do that, you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan anytime you want to do that. It's always amazing as I travel around the country and meet various people, and as I get correspondence from people that say how much this show has impacted their life. Recently, I was in Michigan with a friend who was teaching a conference, and some young people came up, children basically, and said, "Big Rick, we listen to your show every day and part of our homeschooling." And it was really a blessing to meet them and to see the enthusiasm and the encouragement they gave me. I got a letter just recently from a man who said to me through that email that he had learned more in the last 120 radio shows he had heard than the last 40 years in his church. That's kind of a shocker, and it's a shame to say. But that goes to show you that ritual without reality is meaningless. And so many times in organized religion, that's all there is. There's ritual and no reality to it. And no one actually teaches you the mechanics of the Christian life. And so we go along using cliches like "turn it over to God, brother," or "I prayed about it," whatever that means. And people seem to think that that is the spiritual life. There's much more, much, much more. And what's the poor thing about it is the spiritual life is not being taught today in organized religion. Yes, there's a lot of things being taught about Christianity. But listen carefully when Jeremiah speaks for God, the prophet Jeremiah, where God said, "I want people that know me and understand me." And my premise is there's a difference between knowing God and understanding God. Many people know God. They know him through Jesus Christ the Lord. They are in fact believers and they are redeemed. But they do not understand the God they know. And here's the simple objective of Satan, I assure you. Number one, to blind the minds of the unbeliever so that they never hear the gospel to start with. But if in fact they do hear the gospel and they do accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, like I did at the age of 22, then his secondary objective is to stop any of us from ever growing up spiritually, to stop us from learning and understanding the protocol plan of God, so that at best we meander through the Christian life and show up in heaven and realize what time we wasted, what we could have done. And we look back and see that we never took the time to learn God's plan. And that's a shame, but that's what happens. And so that's why the Bible clearly says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Study to show thyself approved. There will come a day when we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And it's not that he's going to judge our sins. Our sins have already been paid for. There's not going to be a movie projector in heaven showing everybody in the crowd all the things you did when no one was looking. That's not going to happen. But what will happen is that every good deed you did will be evaluated. And the evaluation will be based on whether it's divine good or whether it's human good. If it's divine good, it's labeled as gold, silver, and precious stones. and it's rewardable. If it's human good, it's labeled as wood, hay, and stubble, and it will be burned up. But that same passage in 1 Corinthians 3 says, the foundation will not be burned up. Well, the foundation is our salvation. It's when we believe in Christ, and He is the rock in our life. Fire doesn't burn up a rock, but our works, that's where the issue comes in. So if Satan can successfully stop us from learning how to execute the protocol plan of God, then even though we may look the part, even though we may talk the part, we're never going to get in the game because we don't understand the plays. That's why you hear me talk about protocol, doing a right thing in a right way. And that's why you hear me talk about such as human good and divine good. And that's what the flat line is about. So let's give you a short illustration before we move on. The flat line starts off with problem-solving device number one, which is rebound. And this is how we solve the problem of sin in our life. When we sin, we rebound. As per 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sin, then He's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. So at any one time in your life, you are either in fellowship with God or you're out of fellowship with God and you're carnal. There is no in between. So if you have unconfessed sin in your life, you're carnal. If you have confessed your sin or kept a very short account of your sin, you're spiritual. You're either spiritual, filled with the Holy Spirit, or carnal, controlled by your sin nature, at any given moment, such as right now. So if there's sin in your life, you're carnal. But if you have confessed any known sin to God, you're spiritual. Listen, when I sit down to record these radio shows, the first thing that I do is I look inside of me and I admit any known sin to God. And yes, I sin, just like you. When I admit my known sins to God, I know that at least for the next 30 minutes, I'm in fellowship with God. And when I am teaching you this radio show, I'm not teaching it to you in the energy of the flesh. You see, Christians can operate in the energy of the flesh. We're supposed to operate under the filling of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. But we can also operate under the energy of the flesh, and that's the good side of our human nature. And so I could be teaching you this, and I could have known sin in my life that I have not confessed, and you wouldn't know the difference. But then the judgment seat of Christ, it would scroll up, and the Lord Jesus Christ would say, you remember that radio show you taught that day? You were out of fellowship. That's wood, hay, and stubble. See, the right thing has to be done in a right way. When the Bible says that we are to be filled with the Spirit, that's telling us that the only way we can function in the Christian life is under the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And if we don't have that, then even though we may go to church, even though we may pray, even though we may give, even though we may take mission trips, we do all those right things, but we do them in the wrong way. And they wind up being the energy of the flesh or human good. And this is a tragic, tragic mistake. And I'm going to tell you something else that's a tragic mistake. One of the things that Satan uses to manipulate us, and this is listened very carefully, one of the things that he uses to discourage us and to defeat us is our very own guilt. That's right, our very own guilt. Guilt can be an emotional sin. And I want to talk about that today, because it's very important. Philippians 3:13 and 14 says, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Those things that are behind are our failures and our defeats. When we rebound, when we use problem-solving device number one, then we do not look back. See, look, let me give you an example again. Let's say when you were 18 years old, you committed a terrible sin, and you've asked God 9,000 times to forgive you for it. And now you're 48 years old, and you still have guilt from that sin. And something bad happens to you, and now you think that God is getting even with you, that God is punishing you for what you did when you were 18. This is not the plan of God. This is not the way it works. This is what Satan does to get you obsessed with yourself and to discourage you by your self-induced arrogance. That's right, arrogance. Guilt can turn into self-induced arrogance. Listen, we all fail in life. All of us fail. Whether or not you realize it, you have a sin nature. The Bible clearly says, by one man, sin came into the world, and death by sin, and now death on all of us, for all have sinned. Listen, we all have a sin nature. Paul wrote in Galatians, the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh. This is a battle every day. You don't defeat it with one little prayer. You don't defeat it with a week at a camp or buying a book and committing yourself to God. That doesn't defeat the sin nature. The sin nature is defeated one day at a time, one step at a time, by rebound. So when we sin, we fail. When we rebound, we recover from the failure. But if you don't have the faith rest drilled down, problem-solving device number three, if you don't understand that God is faithful, listen to the verse, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Faithful means He will do it every time. And just means that He does not compromise His righteousness when He does this. Every time you sin, whether it's a big sin or a little sin, technically there are no such things. Sin is sin. But maybe you have relegated the big sin to some big thing, and little sin, maybe the little sin to you is running the red light or speeding down the road when the speed limit is 55 and you're going 85. Yeah, that's a sin, absolutely. That's your arrogance saying, I'm not going to obey that speed limit. You don't like it, and so you hammer down. That's a sin. That's your arrogance. And the big thing, well, you can let your mind go where you want to. It can be stealing. It can be adultery. It can be murder. It can be a lot of different things. Drunkenness. Drug addiction. Listen, whatever the sin is, when you commit the sin, you go to God and you admit the sin. If you don't believe God will forgive you for it, then you're going to get depressed. You can even get suicidal over this because you don't understand that guilt leads to repression. Repression. What I mean by that? I mean, when you have guilt and you don't know how to handle it, you will bury it deep down into your subconsciousness. That's your primary defense against being anxious. It's your primary defense against anxiety. It is a means of denying that you ever did it. This is why people say, I don't know why I keep doing that. Yes, they do know why. They have a sinful nature, and their sinful nature dominates their thinking. And when they confess their sin, they don't feel forgiven. They don't feel like it really worked. They don't feel like they're truly cleansed. And so they fail to apply what they know and due to denial in their own life. And then they set up self-induced misery. So repression comes from guilt. Denial comes from guilt. That's when you have a false perception of reality. And you know what? If you get really guilty, you may want to blame someone else. You may want to project your sin over onto your parents, for example. So this guy's in jail, and this is an illustration. This guy's in jail and he did something really horrible. And he says, the reason I did something really horrible is I grew up in a really bad environment and my parents beat me. That doesn't fly, my friend. We are not a victim of our environment. We are a victim of our decisions. And bad decisions limit future options. Both my wife and myself, we grew up in horrible environments. But through Bible doctrine, through the Word of God, you can orient and adjust to life and not have guilt, not have self-pity, not repress what you did and deny it and project it onto someone else and then try to manipulate people. Doesn't work. That's not the Christian life. So guilt remains and becomes a sin if you fail to forget the things that are behind you. Guilt is a failure to use the problem-solving devices. And if you don't handle your guilt, then it can lead to hostility. It can lead to you wanting compensation. You know, you stuff like that. I've been wronged. I demand compensation. It leads to emotional instability. So if you live by guilt, you will lose all your perception of reality. You see, the supernatural spiritual life, it can overcome past feelings of failure. It can overcome past feelings of abuse, rejection, guilt. Things happen when we're young. People can be abused. People can be neglected. People can be rejected. And if you attribute that, if you get guilt and say, well, the reason this happened was this, what I did, or my mom didn't really love me, or, you know, you've heard it all. If you don't get past that, that's what the spiritual life can do. The spiritual life gives you the power and the energy of the Holy Spirit, and by means of those unique problem-solving devices, to keep the outside source of adversity from ever becoming the inside source of stress. That's right. You don't have to have that stress. The true situation of the believer who is negative to the Word of God, but positive to the details in life, well, Revelation 3 talks about it. He's wretched. That means he's under stress and old sin nature control in his soul. Revelation 3:17. He's miserable. It means he has no capacity to be happy. No sense of appreciation. He's poor, the Bible says. That means that he has no values related to his spiritual life. He's blind. What does that mean? It means he cannot perceive reality. He doesn't really see who he actually is. And he's naked. That means that there is no clothing in his soul, no defense mechanism against the stress, no Bible doctrine in his soul. So, where do you stand in all of this? You have a subconscious mind. That's the part of you that works when everything else is sleeping. Yes, you have the conscience, and you have the subconscious. And the problems of the subconscious mind and guilt combined together can create a believer with flaws, a believer who can have mood disorders, maybe even neurotic. And what's weird about it is he will see the flaws in other people, but he will never see his own flaws. This type of believer is always very hypersensitive about himself. But guess what? When it comes to you or other people, he's insensitive. He's flawed, and he will try to manipulate other people by making them feel guilty, by putting the bonds and the chains of legalism on them. And so we have to be careful. I want to make a statement. Listen carefully. The Christian life is not motivated by emotion. We don't live as a result of emotion. Emotion is not cognition. Emotion is not learning. Emotion is feeling. The Bible does not say, let these emotions be in you that were also in Christ Jesus. No, it doesn't say that. It does say, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, said himself, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn. Emotions don't learn anything. Emotions are an appreciator, but they're not there to learn things with. We are not spiritual because we feel spiritual. If you try to make emotions part of your spiritual life, then you're just going to delude yourself. You're going to confuse yourself into thinking you're one thing that you're not. So guilt. Guilt is an emotional feeling. It can be a feeling of responsibility or remorse for something that you did or something that you think you did. And when you get those feelings, that's not necessarily sin to have a feeling like that, but it can become a sin when it becomes some sort of morbid self-reproach, some sort of emotional feeling of culpability for something you did or you might not have done, but maybe someone says, you know that was a sin, brother. Legalists are bad about doing this. If they have something they don't like and you want to do it, they'll look at you and say, you know that's a sin, brother. They amaze me. It's one of the sins they come up with. You know, I guess according to the legalist, the only thing you can do to have fun in life is go bowling, sing in the choir, and watch G-rated movies that are rejects from Walt Disney. But there's a lot more to life than that. And so, but not for the legalist. Oh, and he's going to make you feel guilty if you have fun, if you enjoy life, if you do something that he doesn't approve of, he's going to lay a guilt trip on you in a hurry. He'll tell you, brother, don't you have a burden for the Lord, brother? To accuse you, malign you, manipulate you, to get you to do what he wants you to do. Guilt can become morbid self-reproach. It makes you feel inadequate, and that's very dangerous. Because you get occupied with yourself, and that leads to self-righteousness. So you kind of watch it. You can't manipulate yourself. That's a guilt trip. And you can't let someone else manipulate you. That's self-righteous arrogance. And you can't become a legalist and try to manipulate other people. Then you become a crusader. Listen, the Christian life is not the weak controlling the strong by manipulating them or some stipulation like that. Guilt can be bad. It will cause repression where you will force things deep down inside of your soul and you will never deal with them because repression denies the reality of the problem. You know why? It's just unpleasant to think about. It's unpleasant to face. And so we repress it or we project it onto another person and say, it really wasn't my fault that I did that. See what I'm saying? Well, people say, I don't know why I keep doing that. You heard me say that a while ago. That's the results of that repression. They don't know. They can't remember. Well, they keep doing it, okay. And it's just simply the old sin nature controlling them. It's a war within you. It's the old sin nature versus the filling of the Holy Spirit. And as a Christian, who's controlling your life? Who's controlling your life right now? Are you in fellowship with God as you listen to me? Or are you under control of your sin nature? The first way to solve it is to rebound. Rebound is the first problem-solving device, and it is designed, like every other problem-solving device God gives, to stop us from being under the outside pressures of adversity and not become the inside pressure of stress. You live in the devil's world. You're going to have adversity, but you do not have to convert it to stress. You do not have to feel guilt. You do not have to worry. You do not have to be afraid. Listen, that is not the Christian life. The Christian life is a wonderful life, and it is not has nothing to do with you feeling guilty. When you sin, when you fail, confess your sin to God. Get up, move on, and do not look back. You hear me? I don't care what it was. Don't look back. This is what Satan would want you to do. He wants you to feel guilty about it. He wants you to think, if I was a Christian, I wouldn't have done that. And then you doubt your eternal security. You doubt that God's faithful. Jesus Christ himself said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He didn't say, unless you do something really bad. That's not what he said. So if you've got guilt, it may be from being manipulated by someone who has a dominating personality, and they're self-righteous, and they're arrogant, and they're trying to manipulate you. Guilt can become a sin when you fail to rebound, or you rebound and then go back to it. You fail to forget it. Listen, forget it. If God is through with you, he will take you. If you're still breathing, when the dust clears, you're still here, then God still has a plan for your life. Rebound and keep moving, and do not wallow in guilt. I hope you're listening, and I hope you're learning. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.